You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Oh my God, we are almost there. This is episode 299 of the IT in the D show.
Did you say we're so close?
We are. We're almost there. Stay on target. Guests this week include Jason Bressler. He is the CTO of United Shore Wholesale Mortgage. We were going to be talking about how it is to onboard over 1,000 people in, what, 4.5 months?
Pretty crazy.
How they juggle sales guys like me and overall the life of leading
underwriters and tech people.
Right.
And, yeah. Gosh, how do we swing someone so awesome?
Exactly. Drinks and blackmail.
That's absolutely. But hey, our friend Evan Lyle of Roush Enterprises is a big fan of Michigan. As he put it, the future of mobility is going to be decided right here in this state. Do us a favor, visit planetm.com to find out why. That's planetm.com. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
It's I Love the 90s, and this is 1999.
Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Never give up. Never surrender.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
If they think Napster's bad, I can tell you there's a lot worse coming.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What would you say you do here?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
May I have the password, please?
Fidelio.
Hey, guys, it's Timehawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Despite all the assurances that the Y2K computer problems are under control at a cost of $100 billion in this country.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the force.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
I see dead people.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the news. Listen. Muse. Snoogans.
I think it's sweet. And I think he and your mother have not had sex in a long time.
This is Scott Stein of Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Sex is a joke in heaven.
The way I understand it is mostly a joke down here, too.
From Detroit, this is the IT and D Show. This is Honey Lister Depot from the hit movie Friday. Keep your lights on, because I still got the bicycle. Now get that mic out my face.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Oh!
I'm going to stick my tongue in your mouth. And when I do that, I want you to massage my tongue with yours. And that's what first base is.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
Oh.
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
This one time at band camp?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome back. Thank you for clicking play. This is the one and only IT and the D show. We've made it all the way up to episode 299.
Bob, I want you to think back. Like, we're almost. In fact, this is how this happened. 6 years ago, probably today.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Memorial Day. So it was 6 years ago yesterday.
Yeah.
I called you up and said, hey, man, next Monday night, we're going to start a podcast.
Okay.
What's a podcast?
What's a podcast? What do we talk about?
Yeah, we're going to get drunk and put mics in our faces. It'll be great.
We're going to run out of shit to talk about.
And then my frantic message out to anybody that I knew that was like, okay, where's a bar around the Russell Industrial Center that we can get plowed at before we
Right. Hey, we're hanging out here at Studio One in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the FNG, and Randy, I do the Twitters, is not – where go. Is he? He's where not here. Do the Twitters, Randy. Find us online, itinthed.com, and give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
So pretty simple calendar, thank God. June 7th, we have our Ann Arbor event. We are going to be at the Pretzel Bell, which has both pretzels and bells.
I found them both.
In Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And then June 20th, we just pushed this out today. We are going to be at Nancy Whiskey. Love that place. We've never met Nancy, but we have met an awful lot of whiskey.
Yeah.
There.
At one point, it was the highest supply or highest selling Tullamore Dew establishment in the country.
That's so, yeah, crazy.
The patio is really cool now. They have actually a Tullamore Dew tree.
Yep.
But yeah, Nancy Whiskey's old Corktown. Free parking, pretty safe area. So, yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And then Monday night, June 3rd, we're going to do something. We don't know what it is yet. We're still debating amongst ourselves what we're going to do and where we're going
to
go.
Episode 300. We have to do something amazing.
And it's 6 years. I feel like that's what we need to do. We need to go hunt down Jeremy Piven so we can go 6 years. Six years, man.
I want to yell, this is Sparta, and kick you off the stage. Can we do that, please? That would make the 6 years all worth it. So my geek flag flew pretty high this weekend. I got to see the behind the scenes look at The Mandalorian.
Did not watch it yet. Don't care.
And the first thing that just hit me like a ton of bricks was, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time, Swingers, Jon Favreau, Mikey.
Yep.
He's directing it.
Yeah.
And we're like, how? Like, you're a gutter in PCU. Doing bong hits, asking ladies where they can blow him where the Pampers are.
Right.
And now you're basically directing, you're in
one of the most Avengers. Anticipated Star Wars.
Right. But here you got this is what got me.
I had to Google Mandalorian, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and give Boba you my Fett. Geek card now.
Boba Fett.
Okay.
Well, no, apparently Jango Fett and Boba Fett, they're not actual Mandalorians.
No,
they
stole
the
Mandalorian armor.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. They stole it off someone. So this is basically following a rogue Mandalorian basically on a quest of, you know, whatever he needs to do,
okay,
he or she. And basically the whole thing's modeled after the old Clint Eastwood man with no name, like spaghetti westerns.
Which is how Star Wars started.
Right. But like this thing's going to be legitimately shot like an old spaghetti western. So like, and it's going to be like the first live action Star Wars series, like –
very cool.
And whatever Hulu wants for me to subscribe to it.
That's right. Just, all your things are belonging
just,
to me.
Just take my money. But it was the behind-the-scenes footage. I mean, it looks Like, it's going to be – it's in between basically Return of the Jedi and before the First Order was formed.
Okay.
So the you know, the Republic is now – or the Rebels are now part of the, like, the New Republic.
Right.
And the Empire is still, like, kind of in shambles trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Okay.
So it's kind of in that era.
Interesting.
But they said you're only going to see – you're only going to see a couple people, like IG-88. They flashed a couple, like a couple droids you might remember. But it's not going to be like
droids I'm looking for.
Right. But it's not going to be like an I remember the whole time going, you know, right, cameos from Stan Lee and, you know, no, none of that's going on. So,
yeah,
pretty legit.
So you had that. My Dorkosaurus moment was we're getting closer and closer and closer to this new Dark Crystal prequel coming out. Now, and I know, Bob, we have talked about this on the show before. You don't care about the Dark Crystal.
It's
you don't,
so like, weird.
It's such an amazing movie.
I saw it in the theater when I was a kid. I mean,
it's so good.
So I never saw it, but I had a house party maybe last year, and they're like, let's watch the Dark Crystal. I'm like, what the hell's the Dark Crystal? About 20 minutes into it, I'm like, what the hell's the Dark Crystal? Yeah. And I went upstairs, like,
ah. Oh. Dude, it's so like, dude, that's such a, like, with the puppetry and like just appreciating it for what it was.
It was a Jim Henson movie, right?
It absolutely was. And like, even he said that was the thing he was proudest of.
Wow.
It was when his LSD kicked in and he started writing.
That was H.R. Puffin stuff.
Oh, of course. That's a no-brainer.
But no, so it debuts August 30th on Netflix, and they released some photos from the filming and behind the scenes and that kind of stuff. And God damn, it looks good. And it's
Are they going to do puppets and not CGI? I couldn't tell with the pictures. Yes. Okay, thank God.
Yeah, they stayed true to form with it. I can't wait for this one. I'm too excited.
So, you know, I just love the title of this because it reminds me of little Chris Farley. But, you know, basically, you know, Silicon Valley is getting a little pricey, and basically, what people started doing was basically doing living in vans down by the river.
Yep.
And apparently,
this story is so crazy.
Yeah, apparently, it was a quiet neighborhood, right outside of Mountain View, and then basically just an RV camp just started happening, and people just all parked their vans and their RVs.
Mountain View is not a very big city. First of all, I used to ride my bike when I worked for Google. I would ride my bike from my house to Google, and it was about 15 minutes. It was just one in the Mountain View to the other. And there's over 300 RVs that are now primary residences that they found in December of last year. So 300 RVs on side streets in Mountain View, that's a lot. And apparently all the neighboring towns have the same problem as well.
Well, there's the story, and this is kind of why. Basically, there's this quote, in my neighborhood, there's a group of five or six duplexes and a couple that I know lived in one of them for 22 years. When Google moved in next door, the landlord raised the rent by $700 a month overnight.
That's absolutely crazy.
Basically, wow. Yeah, basically, you know, yeah. He goes, I don't want to live in a town where only people who can afford here are rich techies or old retirees like myself.
And even then, like when I took my job at Google, I took a pay cut to go there, and I lived in an apartment with two Google interns, and I was paying $1,000 a month for a bedroom. And I'm like, okay, $1,000 a month for a bedroom in a big city, whatever. But it was on the Caltrain track, so every 15 minutes, train went by, waking straight up. And it was a 1970s apartment building. Absolutely shitty.
Oh, my God.
No covered park. So plaster was falling off the walls every time the train went by.
It was not a good place. And that was $3,000. Now they say that the median rent in Mountain View is now $41.51 a month.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to do the math for you playing at home, that's about the mortgage on what, a $700,000 house?
Higher than that.
I want to say the math.
Higher than that.
No, if you look at – yeah, I'm just trying
here, higher than that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're actually closer to nine.
Yeah. No, if he goes, it's right about $7,750 for every 100,000. Right. If I remember my math, when your taxes and you're all in.
Oh, it depends on your taxes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I pay $1,000 a month in Detroit city tax.
So. Yeah. But you're all in. You're like $7,700. So yeah, if you're looking at $700,000 house, that's your rent. Your basically median rent. Medium home value is $1.8 million.
Which is insane. Which is up.
Yeah, up from $750,000. What, 2-3 years ago?
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
But, like, I mean, what kind of money do you have to make? I mean, I know Google pays more. I know Facebook's median salary was, what, $240,000 a year? But you're paying a lot of
all of that
rent, right,
to find a place to live.
So what are your options?
Well, like, and there was another thing, another story that was floating on Facebook that I didn't get a chance to shoot out, but that people were saying the same things about San Francisco. where, you know, San Francisco used to be the, you know, kitschy, bohemian, yada, yada, yada town. And they're like, yeah, now good luck finding somebody not in their 20s wearing khakis and a polo shirt from whatever startup that they're, you know, working for.
Just got funded.
Shitting on a sidewalk.
Yeah.
Right, right. But if you want to ever get freaked out, go on YouTube and just put up L.A. tent cities.
Yeah.
Like the Skid Row area. It's insane. These basically, it's in the middle. Imagine the middle of the city. You're on Woodward, and there's thousands. I was listening to Rogan talking about
it's
it.
Crazy.
It's absolutely just taken over the whole entire city.
But even across the bay from San Francisco is Oakland, which is basically like the Detroit of San Francisco. And Oakland is a super cool town. $2,600 is the average rent in Oakland.
God.
It's just I'd never do it again. I mean, you'd have to pay me a boatload of money to get me back to the Valley nowadays.
But it's still not worth it. So I was talking to a friend of mine.
Speaking of gentrification in Detroit, we would be remiss, even though we've had issues in the past. Hey, Dan Gilbert, speedy recovery. Wish you well. Had a stroke over the weekend.
Stroke-like symptoms.
The one story, he went to the hospital, I believe it was Sunday morning, because he wasn't feeling well, had a stroke while he was there in the hospital, and that's probably what saved his life, was that he was there in the hospital when it happened. So yeah, we've had our chaos and mayhem, and still love you, but
raise my drink.
Get well, Dan. Cheers. Yep. I thought the most American story that we told was the whole McDonald's in Austria for the embassy.
McPassports.
Yeah. This one.
Wait, there's more.
This one might overtake it, and it's actually in our United States. Apparently in Washington State, they have a thing called
– I love this story.
I thought it was The Onion, and I had to read it three times. Yep. There's a thing called a mutual combat law. Basically lets people have two people – mano y mano, have consensual street fight in the street.
Yep.
No guns, no knives.
No guns, no knives. All right. If there is a cop to be the referee.
Yep.
So basically there's a video of these two guys going at it. Cop pulls up. They basically had to shake. And then,
gentleman's rules.
Right, but like, there's like four guys that dress up like, what was that stupid movie with like the fake Avengers where it was like, the guy from Superbad, it was called like, it wasn't called What. It was like one movie. God bless it. No, it was like a bunch of stupid kids that just run around the street pretending they were superheroes.
Ian is tweeting us right now. I guarantee with the
answer. I know. I'm an total idiot. I'm a total idiot. But like this guy's dressed up like a fake superhero.
Okay.
And this guy's just in his grill, and the cop comes out. This guy throws a couple taekwondo kicks and an overhand right, and he just drops him. And like one other guy's like, that was a cheap shot. And the cop gets in the middle and goes, nope, fair and square. You two get on your way. And that was it. We're like, what in the world would have caused a town to like say that's okay?
I feel like the world would be in a better place if that law was everywhere. Like I've said it a million times. I wish dueling was still a thing, because I think all this political shit that we have going on these days, the rhetoric would be a lot lower if you knew your ass was going to get called out on the White House lawn to turn, you know, take 10 paces, turn and fire if you insulted somebody's honor the way that happens on an hourly basis.
But I think that's one step closer to idiocracy, because now we're going to have politicians in crazy monster trucks in an arena.
No.
Like, no?
Typical, no, dueling.
This is
10
step
paces,
one.
Turn and fire.
This is a greased mountain. This isn't a slippery slope. Like,
see, that's another. Like, I'm channeling my inner Bill Burr here.
I feel like that's the Disney After Dark.
Slippery mountain?
Greased mountain.
I'm totally channeling my inner Bill Burr, where I'm like, I would totally make Running Man illegal if I was the president.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Rule number one of mutual combat law. tell everyone about mutual combat law.
Like Running Man, that would be just, why not? Televised.
Well, we talked about this before. I forget who the comedian was. It might have even been Carlin that had the whole theory about take all of the square states in the middle of the U.S., put a 30-foot-high fence around them, and there's like four of them. So you put.
Are you advocating building wall, Dave?
You put in the middle of the United States, around Arkansas in particular, and then you put all the murderers in one, the rapists in another, pedophiles in another, and like whatever other serious crime you want in the fourth one, and then people who
put pineapple on pizzas,
and you have and then you have cameras all across the top of the
fence. Big Brother,
and you can watch it 24/7. You subscribe to it, and then once a year for like 5 minutes. Gates open between the four. Like that's the major pay per view.
Whoa. I would like to apologize to our one Arkansas listener, though. I'm sorry, buddy.
It's our Kansas. Dave, you can have your Kansas. We got our Kansas.
No, but so on a little bit more serious note, YouTube has been screwing with, I guess, creators for a while, and they've been doing some stuff that have kind of pissed creators off.
Yeah,
and now they
changed all the monetization rules. They changed all the when you could get to like customize your channel name and
right.
a whole bunch of other stuff.
Now they're taking another step where they're in essence rounding your subscriber number
down.
Right. Right, and just flat level. So if you have like – the example was if you have like 10,500,000,
yeah.
they're basically just saying 10 million-ish,
yeah.
like a
yeah.
like just a rough – and so basically anyone that's – you know, for them that 500,000 is a huge deal. It's a big – when you're selling advertisers, when
is
you're –
Is it though? Like, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
No, that's fair.
So like when you're talking about it between 10 million and 10,500,000. Is that a huge deal? Like, would you – let me put it this way. Would you not take a job if they offered you $10 million instead of
$10,500,000? No, but that's not the number.
As a percentage, though, that's still a percent, right?
They're selling CPM, so if you're breaking that down
– No. But it won't affect CPMs because that's still – you know, your view counts
your
don't
stats.
Change. It's your subscriber count. That they're doing.
All right, fine. So then they can't brag at the coffee house how big their YouTube wiener is.
And that's what they were talking about was like the PewDiePie and like those people of the world that get into these online battles over their subscriber counts and like and then everybody starts engaging bots and it's all this stupid thing.
But
where
doesn't that just mean engagement though? Like if people are arguing about their stats, that's still engagement.
Well, so but again, it's not your stats; it's your subscriber count. Like that's it's the same debate we've had about like, you know, podcasting in general. Is subscriber number a real metric? Because you don't know that those subscribers, yeah, they get notifications when your stuff goes out. That doesn't mean they go watch it. That doesn't mean they go listen to it. It just means they get the notification
that
you have something new out.
People that are really invested in podcasting, they admit it all the time. I subscribe to 100, I listen to 5.
Yep.
Right? But then that subscriber count, it's like Nielsen ratings. It gets counted
uh-huh.
as, you know.
No, but, for sure. That's why I said. That's why I genuinely don't see this as a huge thing.
So, Nuri, when you fly, just curious, do you use those little Samsung charging ports?
Absolutely not.
I never have.
I've never trusted them. No. Sponsored by Huawei.
By Kevin Mitnick.
See, right. I'm not the only
by Huawei.
I've never used one, but I never like it. Never like said, oh no, like not like the USB port sticking out of the mortar,
the wall.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. But like, or like grabbing a random and plugging it in. But like this, I never thought as being something bad. Like, so what? So what are you doing? Is it like a skimmer? Like they're doing
no,
on
so
like
the moral of the story is that it's not complicated to. Basically reverse it. Like you take your laptop, you hook into – like you've got a cord. You hook into one of those USB ports. You can then program that USB to do whatever the hell you want it to do.
Yeah.
So sure, it looks like your phone's just getting a charge, but it's also loading malware. It's also putting keyloggers on it. It's also doing whatever else they happen to want to do to it.
I mean there are settings to prevent that stuff. Like you can't just plug in and install, but this is more like – what if there's a vulnerability in your phone that allows it to do so?
Well, like a lot of people, like Amazon, the Amazon app is not in the App Store. So you have to go ahead and allow installations from third-party sources.
Okay.
Ta-da!
Right.
If you don't remember to turn that setting back off after you install the Amazon app, and then...
So the best line of this article, and this is in Forbes, by the way, it's from IBM Security. Basically, quote unquote, the guy says plugging into a public USB port is kind of like finding a toothbrush on the side of the road and then deciding to stick it in your mouth.
Yep.
Yum.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a product called the Juice Jack Defender, though, which is really interesting. It's a dongle that basically blocks out the pins used for data.
Mm-hmm.
So basically all you're getting is
just the juice,
which people are like, well, what am I? Am I a target by going to an airport and using this? But what if
yes.
you're in a third party?
Yes, you are.
What if you're in another country?
Yep.
What if you're in your own country? Yeah. Right. I mean, there's all kinds of nefarious things that can go on with it.
Yeah.
Bring your own damn power.
But so speaking of malware and that kind of stuff, dude, this is one of the crazy stories that we floated across this week. A laptop full of basically every variant of every virus and piece of malware that's been around since the dawn of computers, was described as an art project and was sold at auction for $1.3 million.
It came with a power cord. That's pretty cool.
So wait a minute. So let me get something straight.
Right.
It's full of malware.
Yep.
It's, in essence, it's just a garbage.
Uh-huh.
And it's art.
Uh-huh.
And it's $1.3 million.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 I think I'm going to start throwing my shit against the wall and coming up with some cockamamie story.
It's art.
No pun intended. Yeah. No, you don't understand. It's the
symbolism, right, of the duality of man.
We used to be monkeys and now we're men. And
like, so if you had this laptop, what would you do with it? Would you just like leave it in your house on a pedestal plugged in with no password on it and just wait for people to come over and
put a USB charger on it and see if it plugs in?
Yeah, yeah. Ding.
Yeah. Money.
You brought out Amazon earlier, and this one I'm laughing at because it's like, how do you win and probably be so they're doing a TLD.Amazon.
Yep.
And there was a big battle between South American countries.
So yeah, it was so Amazon filed the TLD with ICANN a couple of years ago, and a consortium of countries including Brazil, Peru, Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, Guyana, Suriname, and Venezuela.
Wait, is this an Animaniacs song? Right. Brazil, Peru, Bolivia, Colombia, Ecuador, Guyana, Suriname.
Totally sounds like it. Objected. Where's Rob Paulson when you need him?
Oh, my God.
You know, objected to, like, they wanted because, you know, the Amazon region and all that. But, like, dude, really? What were you going to do? What are you going to rainforest.amazon? What were we going to
do? Well, Amazon won.
Yes.
But then they promised that, I think, 900 domains they will not touch that are geographic and, like, history specific.
I love that Amazon offered them up to $5 million in Amazon gift cards.
Did they really?
To drop their lawsuit, to drop their objection. To the
you're not joking?
No, I'm really not. No, I was in the story.
Oh, Jesus.
So, I mean, think of all of Amazon services and they're basically taking over the world. Right?
Yes.
I understand it. I just don't know what they would do with that domain. Like rainforest ayahuasca lodge.amazon. Like
travel.amazon.
Just,
Yeah.
Eh.
Well, this reminds me of if you're a wrestling fan, you remember the WWE used to be called the WWF.
Yeah.
And it was also the same name as the World Wildlife Fund.
Yep.
And WWF Wrestling got a hold of that domain first.
Yep.
And they fought and fought and fought and they won. So WWF had to change to WWE.
Yep.
So now the famous shirt is the one panda hitting the other panda with a steel chair.
Yeah, welcome to the WWF.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, by talking about this now, we can't go back to Lake Titicaca, Bob.
So
we have been banned from Peru.
You know, if that's the thing. If I ever run for president, there's going to be like a year worth of tweets for me going, "You ruined wrestling, you you panda huggers." I might not have said huggers. I got to go back and delete those.
I guess I'm curious as to how big of a problem this really is. I think the dumbest product that I saw this week was the company that for the low, low price of as much as $40 will send you a stretchable nylon wrap for your suitcase of your face.
Does it have to be your face?
I don't think they specified.
I mean, can it be like your anus?
I believe that's the intention of the product. But, I mean, let's be real. Do you really want to get into an argument with somebody at the luggage pickup over whose anus that is?
No.
I feel like the identification process might be a little unsavory.
Is that a starfish on your luggage? It totally is.
Oh my God, just totally random aside. I loved this meme floating around today. It was the top right, top left panel was the diagram of the starfish that pointed out that the mouth is on the center of the inside of the starfish. The top right corner was the Little Mermaid with the two starfish on her boobs. And then by the bottom was Peter Griffin doing the
No, but like the company is called Headcase, and yeah. Like you think they would have tried it, and like someone said, you know, I like if you're in the airport and someone goes, "Oh my God, where'd you get that? I need that."
How big of a problem is this really? Like I've never had.
I have had my luggage lifted accidentally.
Okay,
from a plane.
See,
I have a black Tumi bag.
See, I've always had like a stupid.
No one has that though, Nuri.
Every single business consultant has a black Jimmy bag.
See, but I've always had like a stupid like Red Wings thing on mine or like something that made it stand out a little.
The Morgue from Work suspenders.
Totally.
I've started putting things on my bag to make it more identifiable. See, now, if I ever check it.
My wife has the most literally obnoxious luggage you've ever seen
Does
in your life.
She have the bright pink luggage
and leopard print.
Oh, mother of God!
Yeah, so like that thing comes down that, and it's the size of a small Volkswagen.
You know what? There's going to be some lady named Debbie in Las Vegas who takes your bag's wife.
And we weren't even doing margaritas earlier.
No, I know, right?
So Snapchat has a little bit of an issue.
They have always had an issue.
I know. Well, like, and we've talked about it, you know, from way back in the day where nothing really gets deleted. No.
Right.
You know, they have updated their terms of service and privacy policy, saying that they now delete all snaps after they've been viewed by all recipients. And unopened snaps are gone after 30 days. That's their new – I went and looked it up because I thought the same thing. I thought that they kept them forever.
Don't you
–
They
time,
did
man.
Forever.
I still don't
believe it. Don't you believe it.
For the longest time, all they did was they changed the file extension so that they were still there on the servers and could be grabbed. That's literally all they did.
Dot old.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We talked about that forever. But so apparently they have an internal tool called SnapLion that allows people to – and it was a kind of a joke because it was designed for Leo, for law enforcement officers, you know, to be able to use – you know, be able to get access to things. So Leo the lion, ha, 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 SnapLion. But apparently go figure, Snapchat employees have been abusing this tool to get things like access to private snaps, access to, oh, I don't know, names, emails, phone numbers, all of your account data, yada, yada,
yada. As I just got a Snapchat on my phone.
So let me get this straight. How many snaps are sent a day? I would say
– Bajillions.
Right. Like
– And a percentage of them involve nudity.
Right. 60. You're going to filter through that crap? Like, good luck with that. Like, how much time you got?
But do you need to? Like, I would say you hone in on celebrities. You hone in on Instagram models or, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not like it's not a target-rich environment. You hone in on, you know, the girl you're stalking. I mean, it's – yeah. I mean, it's – but, I mean, that's the issue. And they talk about this in the article is, dude, you have to have – like, tools like that have to exist in order, you know, to comply with law enforcement requests and to allow – you know, sysadmins and those kind of people to actually get in and do their work when things are sideways and that kind of thing. The problem is it's the monitoring and the what happens with it out in the wild when you don't have the right safeguards in place to keep it from being abused like this.
Like in any time that you have people look up stuff, that stuff needs to be logged. And I think that was what they were talking about. They didn't have the logging early on to basically hold people accountable for what they're doing. Yeah. So I went and looked it up. 300 million monthly active users, 190 million DAUs, 3 billion snaps created every day.
I think 2 billion of those are from my two daughters.
And it's 78% of users are 18 to 24. Interesting statistics.
You're a more permissive parent than I am because my daughter has been begging me to get on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Nope.
I made the rule only people from school, and that was it.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's like the only way they communicate.
I don't care.
Like,
nope. Yeah.
www.nope.com.
Yeah, okay, right. Let me see a little story about my name. Shh.
So if anyone's known me since high school, the thing that made me laugh more than anything is I wanted more than anything.
Was your old Boz haircut?
Yes. Oh, that was great. That looked good. I always wanted to put a train horn to replace my horn because I always thought it was funny.
You have. Yeah.
And I've been watching videos of people that put boat horns in Scions and like it makes me absolutely laugh. So now my good friends at Stanford basically have created a sound so loud – it instantly turns water boiling.
What bothers me about this article is that it's essentially – do you remember the movie Real Genius?
Absolutely.
Who
the popcorn.
Needs a phase conjugate tracking system?
Wasn't that a thing where they wanted to basically boil people from the inside
with
a laser?
Beer.
Oh, absolutely. That was Nuri.
It needs a big beam. It was a giant laser that would shoot from space and vaporize people. Dude, your body is a large percentage of water.
Mm-hmm.
What is not discussed in this article is how quickly and easily weaponized this is.
Hear this out real quick if you want to get scarier. The scientists use basically a powerful X-ray laser to blast tiny jets of water with short pulses of high-frequency energy. When the X-rays hit the microscopic steam of water, they instantly vaporize the water molecules like spit on a hot skillet.
But I think they did so too without having the cells break down, which is the interesting thing. So basically they could boil you from the inside.
Yup.
That's really scary.
Yeah. Not a fan at all. Kind of creeped out.
Funded by DARPA.
Of course, and then whoever wrote this has to be like 70. So in other words, metalheads, it is possible to rock so hard that you instantly boil water, which no one ever said ever.
No, but then so speaking of Facebook and all that fun, happy hoo-ha, Instagram breach. What a shocker. Yet another Facebook-owned company with a data breach. Apparently this one involved a whole bunch of the top media influencers that are on Instagram. You know how much we love the word influencer.
Yeah, I was like, can we stop there?
Yeah.
Like, if you have influencer as your title, just
stop.
Stop.
Stop. That's right up there with Lion
as far as we're concerned. Or I want to round you up just publicly shame you.
Yeah.
Depants you in front of people.
Bring out the shame wizard from Big Mouth.
Right.
Shame.
The interesting thing about this article, though, it wasn't actually from Instagram, but it was a company in Mumbai called Shatterbox.
Yep, another India firm.
A third-party company that was basically tracking the net worth of the people on Instagram.
Yep.
Well, the database, it said that the database that was hosted on AWS was left without a password, which basically let anyone to take a peek inside it and see the information pertaining to it.
So an unsecured S3 bucket
with
a database in there with no password.
Yep.
Nice. I bet they're hiring a chief security officer next week.
Right about now.
Yeah.
So, hey, it could be worse. Speaking of, you know, just billions and billions and billions, the estimate came out that to fix the roads and bridges in Wayne County, $3 billion.
Go do it. Go do it.
$3 billion.
So wait, hold on. Isn't that the entire state budget for roads for the entire state?
I have no idea.
I was trying to look it up because I was getting information.
And this is one of those things where we always get into this debate where people and you see it on Facebook. Well, you know, they raised the tax on gas. Where did that money go? They raised the tax on registration fees. Where did that money go? They raised the tax on this. You know, the lottery was supposed to go to schools. Where did that money go? And the roads. Where did that money go?
Well, I did do some a little
Where'd
bit
that
of
money go?
I did do a little bit of Google research.
You did?
And I did. And 1/3 of the road budget comes from gas tax. Okay. 1/3 comes from plate tabs.
Right.
And 1/3 comes from the Fed.
Okay.
Wait. Hold on. Where's the state's contribution to that?
Nowhere to be found.
0.0.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's my question. Are there roads in Michigan that are really, really nice? Because I don't think I've ever seen one.
I mean, every time I kind of try to be contrarian.
MIS is smooth as shit.
I think it's the Milan Dragway. Right. I think that was the meme I saw. But every time I try to go, roads are fine, quit your squabbling, boom, I hit a pothole and almost.
Another blown tire, right. Another bent rim.
On stupid roads like Squirrel and Auburn, where they're like trucks don't drive through. I'm like, why is this like Hamlin Road by my house by OU?
Oh.
Was so jacked up they had to tear it out.
Garfield.
Yeah.
Looked like a war zone.
75 through anywhere north of here, by the way. And the interesting thing about this is just Wayne County.
Yeah, that's just Wayne County.
And they say that there's $70 million needed to just address priority bridge structures because 31% of bridges in Wayne County are in poor to serious condition.
Well, God, they closed the bridge from 75 to 94 last year because there was basically a car-sized hole.
That's pretty awesome.
That opened up in it.
You couldn't Randy's car or your car?
yeah, my car. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
You couldn't go on 75 south for almost a year.
Yeah.
You had to go 275 down if you wanted to go down to Ohio.
Yep.
And they say 58% of roads in Wayne County just overall are in poor condition.
Mm-hmm.
Decades and decades of underinvestment. $40 million just to maintain the current road conditions, which are shit. So – And then so this $3 billion, I just want to keep going on this. Their priorities are that 90% of all roads and bridges will be in good or fair condition and 100% of all critical bridge needs will be addressed by 2029.
Right. So even if someone showed up with a check for $3 billion, you still got 10 years to wait. That's
why it's everyone's favorite game. God damn it, the road. No, God damn it, the roads suck. God damn it, there's so much construction.
And God damn it, don't raise my tax.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where do the funds go for the medical marijuana that gets that was legalized this year?
That all the cities, the recreational, opting out of.
Is that? Because I think they're splitting it three ways, and I was wondering if one of those ways with the roads, but I couldn't find it.
God, that would be nice.
It's the new Cool Cities Initiative, Nuri.
Oh, the Cool Cities Initiative.
Yes.
As opposed to the old cigarettes?
Yes. Cool. No, this is with a C.
Hey, so just in case we happen to have any listeners in Scotland, keep an eye out for a phone. That a tourist, a lovely young blonde lady, lost. She is concerned primarily about the photos of her grandparents that are on the phone. But she is an artist and has been taking topless photos
fake.
Of herself.
Fake.
Is it?
This whole story.
What?
This whole story. It's publicity stunt.
Oh.
She left her camera.
Yeah.
So like, tourist loses camera containing topless photos, hopes locals will find it and return it. So now she's on every major publication in the country. Here's her name. Here's her art. It's like a bullshit Shark Tank. I value my company at $82 billion. Oh, I don't get a bid? Oh, I just got free advertising.
You're,
you know.
You're so cynical.
She is writing,
it's true.
She's writing a book. That's right. She's actually writing a book about her journey and – that's really interesting.
Right.
Interesting take.
And she's raising money for breast cancer awareness. Great. You know, there's good for you.
Yeah.
Fake. This whole thing, like, you know, right. Her grandmother to fight against it. But, like, yeah, it's she's in the news.
Then we'll skip to the dumbest story of the week.
Yay.
If there was one celebrity that you could get a hold of their bacteria and have cheese made out of it, who would it be?
Because
apparently that's a thing now. There is a company out there that is culturing the bacteria of celebrities to make cheese.
Got like Heather Graham's Fromunda cheese?
I was going to go Reggie Watts myself. Like, I would absolutely love some Camembert from Reggie Watts.
How do you make cheese from
– well, you add it to the rotting milk and then it becomes a thing and then that's how
I never liked the word culture. I don't want to know how the sausage is made. Just give me the damn cheese.
Right.
You're saying you're not cultured?
No. Just I like cheese.
You call me sometime when you have no class.
Hey.
I want the laughing cow cheese.
I just thought that was the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Who sits around and, you know, oh no, that was worse than like the guys making beer from vag yeast.
Right,
Well, there's a beer from, gosh, what is it? It's called Old Crustaceans, the name of the beard. It was the brewer's beard yeast that was actually used. And it's a Rogue. Rogue makes Old Crustacean. It's delicious.
Good Christ.
Yeah.
You know what? Can't just beer and cheese taste like beer and cheese?
Well, I'm sure it doesn't taste like beer.
I'd like beer flavored beer and cheese flavored cheese.
Give me the cheese. Yeah.
So if you're like me, you rent a lot of cars. I travel for work, and I'm pretty much on the road.
And personal, and everything else you do.
Right. I'm like an international man of mystery, but
you
are. There's not a whole lot of mystery
that's
to
right.
it,
that's right. That's why before you were the FNG, you were the AST.
We're not going to talk about what that means
right now. We're not going
to
talk about that. No, no.
So renting cars has always been a traditional, terrible process, right? So you walk into the rental counter, you get on the bus. You sign the paperwork.
There's a 20-year-old behind the counter that's not happy to be there.
Who doesn't give any care about what they're doing or how fast you need to get to your meeting, right? So Turo is changing all this. Turo, instead of renting from a car rental company, you're renting from other people. It's a peer-to-peer car sharing marketplace. So just like when you're using other peer-to-peer services, you can select what type of ride you have or what type of house you're renting or things like that. Turo lets you select what kind of car you rent from over 350,000 vehicles and 850 unique makes and models.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy, right? So if you want a Tesla, a Porsche, a Mercedes-Benz, a BMW, a Ferrari.
Okay.
Right? I mean, just imagine going to a business meeting in a Ferrari.
I just want to be Ferris Bueller for a day.
Don't.
Dude, if you give me a Ferrari, I'm not even going to drive it. I'm just going to sit in the car going, chicka, chicka.
So if it's a hot weekend out or an adventure, or I mean, say you wanted to rent a truck, like Turo has trucks or a van to move things in. Like there's basically every kind of car you'd need for basically anything you'd want to do with your life. Also, it's not just in the United States. So as you're venturing around the world, 5,500 cities, US, Canada, UK, Germany.
Nice.
So it basically...
The Audubon trip, hello.
Exactly. So basically, never rent a car from a rental car counter again. Get your insurance available as well. Skip the rental car counter with Turo. Download the Turo app, that's T-U-R-O, on the App Store or Google Play, or visit Turo.com and get $25 off your first trip when you sign up for Turo and use the promo code ITINTHED25 at checkout. That's ITINTHED25 at checkout. Terms apply.
And you use that code and it does work.
And it's fantastic.
All right, kids, go out and check it out.
So I say, not speaking of cheese, because we got an awesome guest lined up.
Yeah.
So
speaking of cheesy segue.
Hey. Yeah, exactly. Jason Bressler is next. He is the CTO of United Shore Wholesale
Mortgage.
He's been
so patient for sitting here this entire time.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Hasn't even said a word.
This is the IT and the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is segment two, episode 299 of the one and only IT and the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan.
And once again, that's right. We said Podcast Detroit in Royal Oak. Fight us.
We have a studio in Detroit. It's fine. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That's Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house, as is Randy. I do the Twitters. Find us online, IT and the D. .com, where you will find all the things.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, like over-tipping. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I have the new Saver card from Capital One.
Okay.
So that's that nice clunky metal one.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Like, ooh, what's this?
Right.
I get a, and you know me. Like, I'm a tipper.
I am a generous tipper as well.
I am a just-the-tip kind of guy. And so I get alert. Like, every time I go out and use the card,
You've tipped 30%.
Like, hey, you know, you tipped 40% at Selena's Bar and Grill. Hey, you tipped, you know, 50% at Temple Bar in Detroit.
I often tip 50% on breakfast.
Does this look right? Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so over-tipping, duplicate charges, or even potential fraud. Then it sends an alert to your phone and helps you fix it, which it does. I get them. It's another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See Capital One, that's capital, CAPITALONE.com for details.
Well, that's totally awesome. Like, you know, when you travel a lot for work or, I mean, gosh, gas station pumps and skimmers and basically the credit card fraud's huge, right?
It's so nice to know somebody's on top of it because God knows I'm not. All right. Thanks for the support, guys.
So, hey, we are extremely lucky and privileged to be joined by the famous or infamous Jason Bressler. He is the CTO, that is the Chief Technology Officer for Use Playing at Home of United Shore. Jason, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Also joined by Mr. Matt Turner. Are you the head of talent acquisition? What is your exact title these days?
I like to think of myself as that. like kind of the head of the IT recruiting pod that we've got. We got a couple other people helping out, doing a great job too.
No, it's all you. You can take credit. It's all good. Well,
I think if they listened, they wouldn't like that very much.
Right on. So, I mean, let's jump into that real quick, Matt. I mean, you guys added 1,000 people this year so far. How in the world do you onboard that many people?
Having a great onboarding.
One at a time, Bob.
Hey!
One at a time.
No, it's been crazy. It's 1,000 people headcount growth in 5 months is insane. Our team, when I joined, we had 5 people in recruiting. We have 36 people in recruiting now. So we're trying to keep up with the demand of the business, but we just keep growing so fast. I mean, year over year,
tech people are so easy to find these days. I can't imagine there's a problem.
Yeah, Jason knows all about that.
Yeah.
In terms of IT, you know, it's out of that, you know, 1,000 or so people, we've added about 160 professionals into our IT teams, putting us at around 600 people in IT. And I know when Jason joined us, I think we were around 200.
And that yeah, we had about 200. Yeah, about three years ago.
Nice, nice. I mean, for those of you not in the know, United Shore may or may not be a wholesale name just because you're not advertising on football games and whatnot. I guess give it one quick overview on, I guess, who United Shore is and what's going on.
Yeah, United Shore is the parent company of United Wholesale Mortgage. So United Wholesale Mortgage is the number one wholesale mortgage company in the country. And last month was the number one mortgage company in the country for closed loan volume. So surpassing Chase and Wells Fargo and Quicken. All of them. So,
Me with a data center background, like level three was always known as a carrier's carrier. You're kind of the wholesaler's wholesaler for mortgage.
We're the wholesaler's wholesaler.
Yeah. Nice, nice. No, it makes sense now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right, right. So, I mean, being the CTO, I know the traditional definition, right? We've had CIOs in that all they talk about is innovation. And I'm like, okay, great. What are you doing to implement it? And the CTO is always in charge of basically the technology, the infrastructure, and how to basically the customer experience inside and outside of the company.
Right.
Talk to me about a day in the life of Jason Bressler.
So we don't have a CIO. I'm the CIO and the CTO.
Right on.
So CIOs are you know, typically, at least in the mortgage industry, are pretty process driven, kind of around regulations and, you know, regulatory aspects that they need.
Sign this.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. I'm way too hyper to be any of those things. So basically, you know, the life consists of, you know, like Matt just said, onboarding 50 people a month. Which is difficult. We have a lot of talented team members that drive the innovation of what we do, but piecing it all together. Probably the hardest thing that we have, the United Wholesale Mortgage, United Shore's 3,700 team members right now.
Sure.
And IT 600, but it's a company inside of a company. And so there's, you know, 10 different verticals in just an IT. So it's keeping all 10 verticals aligned and moving forward at the same time in the same direction with growing infrastructure and then the growing code base and then moving out of being a Microsoft shop to a solution shop opens up, you know, all the tooling aspects of everything else that we've got to do. So it's kind of keeping the plates spinning and trying to throw them up in the air at the same time.
So you're sleeping?
Yeah, a ton. Yeah, oh, okay. Fantastic.
No, just checking.
Sounds like a piece of cake.
Yeah, it's by far the easiest job I've ever had. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, so the majority of are you guys doing coding? I mean, I guess what's in terms of the IT shop,
What are 600 IT people?
Right.
Because I've had this conversation because we talk to people about you guys and they're like, the hell do they need all those IT people for? And I'm like, I know this much, but I'm sure you can tell the story better than I can.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a couple of things. So application development is by far the bread and butter of what we do. It's, you know, that's the face. And so we do develop almost 100% of our own software. We try to be as vendor agnostic as we can possibly be. And so the only way for us to stay nimble is to be able to make changes as quickly as we possibly can. But then on top of that, it's the way that we have to recruit. And so this is what makes us somewhat unique is, you know, like you said, it's really hard to find talent. It's not like there's, you know, a million tech people floating around Detroit and the surrounding areas. And so we build a lot of that talent. And so we take people who don't have experience or very limited experience or maybe only have a degree. And then we teach them. We put them through intensive processes from development to business analysts to quality assurance analysts. And we put them through a long process so they become sticky to us and then want to stay with us and know our code base.
Well, I was going to say there's a science to that because, I mean, they're not walking in with any former cynicism. They're not walking in with any former, you know, like, oh, this again.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean?
You can kind of mold the clay to how you want. And then, you know, I'm hearing that more and more, like the grow your own model.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. We're not in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago where there's so many people that you can choose from. Here, you know, it's a little bit shorter and we're competing against – as more and more tech companies come into Detroit, it gets harder and harder for us to make sure that we're finding that kind of high-level talent. And so if we grow it, if we start it now and we get people into our culture and they believe in what we're doing and they know what we do,
sure,
our long-term success has got to be way up here instead of just kind of going – you know, if – It's a real short-term play to take one developer from Chase and then lose another one to Flagstar.
Right.
Like that circle never really lends itself to scalability.
So, I mean, Matt, you guys recently moved to the new HP, the old HP building.
Yeah.
Being an ex-HPer, I was very familiar with that building. Dave and I got
it. You're like, hey, that used to be.
Yeah, I know.
And then that's cool. That was never here.
No, it wasn't never here. Dave and I got a tour, and I equate when I left, I go, it reminded – The only adjective I can come up with, it was Tokyo. And when I went to Tokyo, it was organized chaos. And it was like there was so many people in so many areas, but it all felt like it was all – the machine was all intact, right? And, I guess talk to me about like the new office, because there's more stuff in there than I can even remember.
I mean, in terms of the facilities, they're great. We basically gutted what you knew.
Right.
And
oh.
Put about $45 million into it, something around that, and built a – basically a full-size basketball court in it.
I saw the basketball court.
A gym that we use the Red Wings trainers to get the equipment. So there's actually free weights and squat racks and stuff in there.
Sure.
And then we've got the arcade room. There's a half-mile track around it. We've got an amphitheater outside, volleyball courts. There's a IT lounge in the IT area. And it's an open environment. So collaborating with teams this is the easiest place I've ever worked where – I can look down and see if somebody I need to talk to is down there and just literally walk over to them versus trying to call, send an email, do whatever. It's very easy. We're all in the same.
Jabber, place. Slack, email, yeah. Whoa, cell phone.
Counter invite, counter proposal,
Skype call.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Now, this one's a little bit more difficult to get a hold of, but he's a busy guy.
Yeah.
It comes with the title, right?
He always responds to email, though. He's very fast on that for some reason.
So, I've been a sales guy for 20-some-odd years, and I always ask this question.
The hell you say.
Yeah, I know. And I always got to ask this question to anyone I meet that's a CISO or that we're on a friend level. And how many phone calls you get a day from guys like me?
I got to be honest. I have no idea. I've got two assistants that answer all those. So,
okay.
But I think a lot.
Right? No, because I kind of joked. I met CISO from one of the big three, and we're soccer dads together. And I'm like, how many? And he goes, I go star D, like it's pretty much to a point where I don't even bother anymore.
It's insane. I'm just on LinkedIn alone. I probably get 10 different messages a day.
Right.
Just on.
I've helped companies such as yours with their digital transformation strategy. Wow. I'd love to have 15 minute.
Oh my God. You sent me one, didn't you?
Hell no. Hell no.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow. Yeah, exactly.
So they put, it's funny because they put us through these classes and they put us through the Sandler training, and they put us through like all this garbage, and I always in drip campaigns, right?
Yeah.
You know what those are.
Yeah.
And I refused. I've always refused every single one of them. I go there because I, just being IT and the D, Dave and I get those too. Hey, we've helped leading networking companies such as yours with their whatever, how can I have 15 sure. minutes of your time? And the thing is, like, I'll have coffee with anyone except for if you do that.
Right.
Because it's like you just copy and paste it from a LinkedIn for Dummies.
The best is when somebody calls me Justin or Jeff. And, because that's all they've been doing. It's just copying and pasting over and over.
I get the recruiter calls my name is Bob Waltonspiel, and for some reason everyone calls me Walter. And it's so bizarre to me. Like, Walter Waltonspiel. My parents were great. Like, no.
Shay, man, Walt Waltonspiel.
How do you select your vendors? Do you go through obviously POCs and you guys, do your own research and whatnot? But I mean, how do you get kind of nailed down who's gonna run your company?
So we do a pretty good job actually with our VP of Enterprise Technology and our VP of Architecture. They handle most of all the POCs. We have a technology review committee, so everything's got to go through it. There's a panel that kind of decides if we're even going to proceed with the POC.
Sure.
And then once we do, it usually lasts anywhere from, 30 days to 6 months.
Sure.
But they'll spend all the time actually doing all the work. They know the questions that I'm going to ask.
Right.
So when the presentation comes through, it's pretty well defined of this is who we think we should use and here's why.
Sure, sure. Because I mean, here's the thing, like everyone's got the next gen something or they hybrid something or the,
Uber. But for
right.
No, like even yesterday, what's the straight hybrid cloud? It's like, great. What does that even mean? We need to go to the cloud. Why?
CIO magazine said I
did. Yeah. Right.
Sound strategy. Yeah.
No, but we've interviewed people that are, introducing zero trust into the field.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you trust zero trust? Like, it's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen the PDF, LinkedIn shares it all the time, of all the security vendors out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's like, every one of those guys has an enterprise sales rep.
It's the most insane eye chart known to mankind.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But no, each one of those guys has a named account. There's an enterprise sales rep with a named account list, and they're on the list. And that's why I'm just curious into like the absolute death that you must endure.
You know what? I feel like that's the interview we need to score. Not the CTO.
the CTO's assistant.
That's a good idea. Actually.
I asked her if she wanted to come on.
There's probably a lot of good stories with that.
What kind of weaseling have they done? Yeah. I'm Jason's uncle. His father's very sick.
Right. How much crap do you shield him right. from on a daily basis?
Hey, well, I got you on the phone. We got a hell of a deal on firewalls this month.
That's why she's always going to Aruba. Yeah, now it makes sense.
Right. No, that's the last thing on salespeople that I always joke. I said when I was at Cisco, we were at GCX, which is Global Sales Kickoff.
Yeah.
And there was a big thing on the board going, if we increase our margins by 1%, it'll add like $8 billion to our bottom line because it's an $80 billion company yeah. right? or whatever. Whatever the number was. It was maybe $2 billion, whatever. A lot of Bs. And I go, that's funny because like I wrote 18% of my business in the month of July. And I go, you've trained your customers to buy in July.
Yeah, that's true.
And I go, you know, some of the other vendors, and I won't, you know, I'll name Cisco because it's obvious, everyone knows, but some of them buy end of quarter or end of month. And it's got to be absolute hell on the 29th of every month going, hey, man, I'll throw another five in if you just do me this, you know, do me this good for the, you know, this month.
Exactly. And then, that happens all the time. Yeah.
Right. But I guess, you know, from a negotiator standpoint, it's, you know.
All you got to do is hold.
Right. Stay on target. Stay on target.
Yeah. If it's only the 21st. Call me back in 3 days.
Right.
Okay, wait, no, 6 days.
Are you at quota or not?
Right.
Yes? Call me next month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess how far up are you going in terms of innovation? Are you guys staying like pretty status quo? Like, hey, I want to run my business. Or how forward looking are you when you're looking at all your technologies?
So I'll actually go – I won't go bleeding edge, but I'll go cutting edge.
Sure.
So bleeding edge is a little too scary for how big we are.
There's that bell curve, the adoption, the decline. You know, you've seen that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, the thing is it's at some point you've just got – even as you become a solution shop, I mean everything's still got to play nicely with each other.
Sure.
And so you can't just throw things in and then hope for the best. We're so far past that. So
right.
Yeah, we'll try a lot, but we won't implement a lot until it actually makes sense.
Right. Well, that was an article we read a couple weeks ago, Dave, about Slack, and it's been our favorite topic because they're losing and they're like WeWork and all these Ubers and they're losing $200 plus million dollars a year, but yet they're going to IPO at like $20 billion valuations.
Right.
And it basically the article is how Slack is just destroyed
workplace productivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because now instead of just sending an email, now you're on Messenger,
exactly.
Chatting all day,
and every day. Yeah.
Well, and then you have Jabber. Like everyone's got. We talked to someone else. They have four different clients that they're running. We do a little bit of WebEx. We got Skype running. We do Slack, and then we're still, you know, email's still a thing.
Why do we keep needing to buy more RAM for all the computers? Because of all the damn software you make me run.
Yeah. Right,
all the IM.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, I still wish AOL. It was so much simpler with just AOL.
Right. Or just ICQ. Talk to them all. Life was good. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, are you guys standard? Is it same, you know?
So
you don't have to say anything.
No, that's okay. So we get the one kind of unique thing about what we do is I've only got one client.
Yeah.
So from an IT standpoint, it's the business.
Right.
So UWM, they dictate kind of what they want to see, and then we dictate back to them the best way to solution that.
Sure.
And so it's easy for us, and then what ends up happening is all the broker clients, who really is who we service at the end of the day, they kind of feed everything in through our sales channels, but then that gets even funneled in down to me. So by the time that we end up meeting with everybody, like I don't need to IM anywhere outside of the company.
Right.
And we're all under one roof. So
right.
at that point, it's easier just to get out of your seat and move your feet.
Right. No, it makes sense. I mean, so how much feedback does like the lowest level in your company have over IT? I'm just curious. Like you said, hey, this sucks. Are you looking at it when it comes to like 10 people, or I guess at one point do you look at it?
We'll look at it. So from an IT standpoint, I will literally look at every single team member's feedback and actually try to implement that if it makes sense. From the company standpoint, I would say, yeah, I mean, it's literally down to like our services team. If there's things that aren't working and we have a kind of a technical solution that we could put in place for that, we absolutely will.
No, yeah, fair.
That's what makes us special.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right. So what haven't we hit on yet that we need to?
I don't know.
Well, Tech Awards, that was a big deal. Won a couple.
The HousingWire Tech 100 and 2019 Best fintech companies to work for. So those are pretty good.
Yeah, that's
and
been.
Then, he's so got something going on next week. You might want to talk about.
I do.
Yeah, it was that the Agile and Beyond conference?
It's the Agile and Beyond.
Agile and Beyond. Yeah. So we're the platinum sponsor for the Agile and Beyond conference.
Okay.
I think
those
that's really
good guys. We like them.
Yeah, we let them in.
Yeah. Oh, you let them in here. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. All right. I'm in good company then.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of those things where we're kind of excited to really take our software and our app dev teams next step and really trying to embrace Agile. I think it's incredibly difficult because we only have one client, but
sure.
It's also easier because we have one client.
Sure.
So, you know, it's one of those kind of paradoxes we're going to try to kind of push through. And we've been trying for about 2 years and we've been relatively successful, but we really need to make a big push.
And it's good for recruiting.
And it's great for recruiting.
Sure, absolutely. Sure. So talk to me about Drive at Home. I didn't believe you when you said it, so I want you to say it on record.
So, yeah, we're, you know, one of the things that we've realized is the best ideas come from the people that are using our technology and kind of playing with the systems themselves. And so we decided to run a contest where every team member within IT, they could form a team of up to 10 people, and then they could find two people from the business, so within UWM, and they could find a business process that we could improve, and it has to be in the business. Can't be like, hey, we're going to, you know, reprioritize our staging tables this way, which is going to relate to 3% faster load time for this queue. So it would have to be something where one of our systems gets upgraded by X and the ROI means Y, whatever it is. And so that winning team, whoever wins that. And so it's got to be it's about a 6-month contest where we allow the teams to work every Friday on their own just to kind of knock through everything. It's got to deploy by the end of October. So they got a little bit of time to do it. And then we need to actually see it kind of marinate through the system and see what happens.
Right.
But the winning team, so up to 12 people are going to get all new Cadillacs for winning. So yeah, it'll be nice. Be a nice little prize to see them all kind of driving at the same time.
I think the winner this year might be they figured out how to leave the building because they're in the way back corner.
Yeah, right.
No, that was one of the cool things, like the culture-wise. And that culture is a big deal to me. I've pretty much worked for every IT vendor on the planet. And some have great cultures. Some have piss poor cultures. But, I mean, you guys are like – you're working 40 hours a week and you're getting the hell out of our building.
Yeah.
And that's I guess in the mortgage business, that's rare, especially when
– in IT, that's rare.
Right.
Period.
So talk to me about that, Matt, if you want to touch on that a little bit.
I mean, at every interview, I mean, that's at least half, if not like 60% of what we're looking for is, are you going to fit and work well on our teams and fit into our culture?
Sure.
If you can't be in the building every day, it's probably not going to be a fit because everyone for the company works in the building. It's part of our culture, and it's the reason why we've – doubled year over year in terms of our volume and what we're doing. We're able to move fast. We all work in Agile. Most of our teams work in 2-week sprints, so it's a lot easier to deal with people when they're here than trying to WebEx them or Skype them.
Sure.
But, you know, they're sitting at home in their pajamas. So
Right.
I just
stop playing with the dog, answer my call.
Yeah. No, but it's when you know your schedule's predictable, you can have a predictable life. Like with you know, especially with my prior schedules in life, I was traveling Tuesday and Wednesday, then I was, you know, working from home on Friday, and then, you know, didn't know what was up and what was down, and, you know.
Well, how many times have you heard me complain about it? Nuri, you know, last night, yeah, I was up till 4 a.m. doing a code deployment. Happens.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's, yeah.
We do our deploys during the day.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
8 a.m., right?
Yeah, we're mainly on demand, and part of the reason we have so many people is, you know, we actually track when people start to hit over 40 hours, that means it's time for another team member and another team member. And so we really try to manage that balance. And I mean, 3 years ago when I came on, we used to do our deploys once every 2 weeks. They weren't allowed to go until, I want to say, 11 p.m., maybe 12, and they would last all night.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it would go 4 or 5 hours, and most of the time they'd have to roll it back. And so, nothing would get deployed for weeks at a time, months at a time sometimes. So, I mean, that was a big thing. We went as far CI/CD as we could. Right now, we're on demand and we're completely blue green to move back and forth to make it a lot easier for everybody.
Well, Matt, I mean, this is an interesting point I should bring up. Like, I got grabbed by the collar over drinks in Vegas by a really high up executive at Cisco, and he basically said, Bobby, 3 years, either move up on this company or get out. And, you know, it's funny because some people, like, you know, my brother-in-law, for example, he's at a bank in the data center. He'll work in that same job for 20 years. Then you got some people that want to move every 3 years. I mean, talk to me about how you guys work with people that, you know, are you encouraging moving around, moving up, moving out, or how is that? Talk to me about that.
That's great. I mean, we've in the end of 2014, we had about 1,000 people. As I mentioned, mentioned earlier, we had about 3,700 people. Actually, had our team pull the stats. Every year internally, we promote about 25% of the people there. So there is a ton of opportunity. If you look externally, look at the stats in all industries, it's a lot lower than that.
Sure.
There's a lot of opportunity. I know many of our leaders in IT were promoted from within as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we try to promote as many from within. And even from the infrastructure enterprise technology standpoint, because we grow so rapidly.
Right.
And because we are, to be honest, blessed with a great CEO who understands the importance of technology, we're literally always playing in a new sandbox, almost all the time.
Right, right.
So where else are you ever going to find that opportunity?
Well, that was our joke at HP. If you don't like your job, just wait 6 months. It'll completely change.
Exactly.
But it kept you on your toes and it kept stuff fresh and interesting.
Right.
If you're in IT and you don't want change, you need to rethink.
You're in the wrong career.
You're right. 100%. No doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. So anyway, I'll you guys are hiring like mad. Where do they go online to apply?
www.unitedshore.com.
Nice. And obviously
I'm sure your DNS works just fine. Yeah.
And you go to the careers tab, right? That's where
that whole website is set up for you to learn about the company, learn who we are, learn who our teams are, and apply to jobs.
Right, right.
I'll post it on there. They're updated. They're live. Everything. And everything is an immediate need. And anything that's posted on there, you're wondering like, are they going to hire right now? Yes. All of the jobs on there are immediate
yes,
needs.
Yeah.
Right.
Just have to be the right person for it.
Right, right. Perfect. And Jason, I know you're accepting all LinkedIn requests that with people that have helped companies just like yours.
100% of them. Awesome. I don't even read them. Just accept. Call me. Come in.
Coffee with everyone. But no, hey, guys, I seriously appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on in. Look forward to keep us posted as things change, or love to have you back in the future when talking about anything that you guys are working on.
That'd be great. Thanks for having us. Appreciate
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Hey, so keeping pace with the many changes in technology is critical, as we all know. Stay up to date and master the tech skills that companies want with a Udacity Nano Degree. Udacity's Nano Degree programs use the most effective online methods to teach technology subjects from foundational computer programming to artificial intelligence and even how to program a self-driving car. Udacity works directly with industry experts to design programs that include real-world projects, providing you with true hands-on learning. With experienced reviewers to grade your work, you develop a job-ready portfolio that showcases the right tech skills. Udacity's flexible pay-as-you-learn monthly program lets you learn at your own pace, and they'll work with you to create a custom learning plan that fits your schedule. Kind of a novel concept. In addition, you get personal one-on-one support from technical mentors who can answer your questions and keep you on track. Udacity provides a full suite of career services, including coaching and resume review, to help you land the job you want. Kind of like we do, you know, we say it all the time with whether it's, you know, don't be that guy, the bad resume guy, or how to network, career coaching, that kind of stuff. These guys seem like they have it all in one place. Kind of looking forward to checking it out. Start your future today and be in demand. Go to udacity.com/ITinTheD. That's udacity.com/ITinTheD and use code ITinTheD to save 10%. That's udacity.com/ITinTheD, code ITinTheD to save 10% today. Looks like a neat program, guys. Thanks for the support.
Hey, that's going to wrap things up. This episode 299 of the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank Jason Bressler for that awesome interview. Appreciate it. Also like to thank our sponsors, PlanetM.com, Turo, Capital One. Thank you for keeping the lights on. On behalf of Bob, Dave, Nuri, and the ghost of Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. Run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time!
a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the trees. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.